In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. The working title that I had for this sermon when I started working on it was, "You want me to do what?" This gospel is one of those that seems to be full of counterintuitive, irrational, impossible demands on how we are to live our lives. That may be Jesus' point to us and to his disciples. His pericope is full of bumper sticker slogans. You know, sayings that you've heard all your life and yet have not really given it a whole lot of thought. I've heard them so often they've become the white noise in my life. You know, you can hear it, but you can't quite really grasp what's being said. So to help us understand better, I thought I would go through the verses to see if I could find better understanding the good news of what Jesus is saying to us today. Now, this may be good news, but it is certainly not easy news. But let me set the scene. We're still on the plane that we were on last week's readings, and Jesus has just told all the people that they are beloved. It's a violent time. Most of the people at some time in their lives were probably oppressed, were considered to be inconsequential or powerless. They were likely to have been hated, cursed, abused, robbed, or beaten. They wanted God to come down and do some smiting. They wanted God to get rid of their enemies. But God is not offering them a feel-good self-help program to get rid of all of the bad guys. He's offering them forgiveness, which is a radical and powerful way of life that goes against our basic desires and wills. The first part of the gospel, verses 27 through 36, are titled in the Bibles at my house. They have two different titles. One Bible calls it Love for Enemies, and the other one calls it The Law of Love. Let me paraphrase. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer them the other also. If anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Jesus, through Luke, is continuing last week's message of love. He wants us to break the cycle of violence, retribution, to reject the law of retaliation. Jesus challenged us to go against our basic human nature of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and to live as God wants us to live. I honestly believe that many people today relish and savor having a sense of aggrievement. They wear their outrage like a badge of honor. That no good so-and-so, you can fill in your blank, said something hateful about me, my race, my political opinion, my country, my family. That allows us to feel justified in being just as foolish and hateful as they are. As Gandhi said, an eye for an eye will leave the world blind. Okay, I got it. Love your enemies. But how? If I love my enemies, how can that be? Jesus tells us, do to others as you would have them do to you. But love your enemies. Jesus tells me what we need to hear, and certainly not what we want to hear. I've often wondered, the saying says, do unto others as you would have them do to you. But what if you didn't love yourself? How should you act? The second part of the gospel is titled in my Bibles, Judging Others or the Law of Mercy. Again, I paraphrase. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Christians tend to be wildly judgmental of others doing things that Christians do themselves. There's a vast difference between what we say and what we do, what we believe and how we act. You just need to look to the headlines to see our government leaders calling for so-and-so to step down and how shocked and appalled they were at what that person did. And just 2 days later, that same guy who was all high and mighty, he did the same thing that that other person did. Or a leader accused of two acts of misconduct, being told to step down by a person accused of inappropriate actions by 13 people. Now, please don't get me wrong. These acts are reprehensible and there should be consequences for their actions. But God loves them, all of them. Imagine if they knew, really knew, that they were loved by God. Would they have done the things that they were alleged to have done? My dad would say that he didn't like going to church when I was young because, and I quote, the people coming out of church with Bibles in their hands would cut you off in the parking lot so that they could get home for dinner before you. He might have been right. God love him, he had a unique perspective on life. And it's that kind of spiritual judgment that makes Christians look like hypocrites. Commentator Robert Dunham may have come up with a possible answer to my earlier question about not loving yourself. He says, perhaps the problem lies in the fact that a lot of people have trouble loving themselves and thus judge themselves harshly, which makes them more likely to judge others harshly as well. It makes good sense to me. It's difficult to forgive and love your enemies when you don't love or forgive yourself. I'm reminded of a young man that I met once, and we were talking about his non-existent dating life and why he didn't have anyone. He said that he didn't think that he was worthy of love. That may have been the saddest thing I had ever heard. If he only knew, really knew, that he was loved by God and by others, how different would his life be? Feelings of low self-esteem and sometimes self-loathing creates easy pathways for judgments of others. Jesus knew that, of course, and that's why he said, be merciful, just as the Father is merciful. We have to believe that we are worthy of love and mercy. God believes it. Jesus knows that he believes it because in verse 35 it says, the Most High is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. The Most High is kind and grateful to the ungrateful and wicked. So why can't we believe in God's mercy? The gospel also tells us that your reward will be great. Now, Christ is not offering cash and prizes. I believe that our reward will be great here and now and in heaven if we live our lives as God wants. Loving each other just the way we are. Giving forgiveness just as we are forgiven. Now, I'm only human. I'm sure that I cannot live up to God's expectations and that someone will just pluck my nerve my very last nerve, and I will not be able to act the way God wants me to act. But I'm also sure God will not stop loving me. God will forgive me and give me a second and a third and a fourth chance to love and forgive that person. I'd like to try something a little different. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the shouting prayer from Schreinmann, correct? Okay. So today, I'd like you to repeat after me. God loves you. This is the audience participation part, so a little bit more. Okay? God loves you.
God loves you.
I love you.
God forgives you.
I forgive you.
I forgive you.
Amen.